Ephesians chapter number 3. And I'm aware we have not finished the message we started prior to this one on, oh, that God would rend the heavens. We will get back to that, but I wanted to go back and try to finish this one this evening. And we begin this message Sunday evening on the subject unto Him. And so we read two verses out of Ephesians chapter number 3 Sunday night, and that was verses 20 and 21. But as I've been studying and reading and meditating on these verses, it was all. How many times do you read a verse and you go back to a verse before it just? It catches your eye, and then you go back, and you end up reading a chapter backwards, verse by verse, because they're just so good. You can't stop reading. And so I want to read, beginning in verse number 1, just because Ephesians chapter number 3 is so wonderful and powerful, which all of God's Word is. But even in chapter 1, verses 17 through 21, let me read that just in our the time we have. Chapter 1, verse 17, look if you will. And there, the Bible says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Don't that just go right along with our thought, unto Him. And here Paul penned the words that He may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of His of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. Now jump over, if you will, to chapter number 3, verse number 1. Paul said, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by the revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made manifest, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And all God's people said amen. My goodness, what a powerful chapter in the Word of God. You can't go even through a verse, hardly, that Jesus is not being exalted and Jesus is not being magnified and glorified, and that's how it should be. That in all things, like written on our communion table, that in all that he would have the preeminence. And that's he closes out this doxology at the end of this chapter, and he uses the words that we lifted as our title, unto him. That everything that we do, whether it's preaching, whether it's praying, whether it's serving, witnessing, giving, loving, forgiving, fill in the blank, whatever we do, we should do it unto him. And so we began preaching on that subject, and we looked, first of all, if you'll remember, at the greatness of his ability, and then we talked about the greatness of his abundance. And that was, we mentioned that there's a statement about God's greatness. He's a great God. Unto him, we're looking heavenward. Now, I would encourage you this evening to get your eyes off of any man. Man will let you down. Man will fail you. As has been said many times, the best of men are men at best. And you don't know a man that has not failed. You don't know a woman that has not come short, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's not just prior to salvation. I'll gladly give the microphone this evening to anybody in the sanctuary who can who would say, since God saved me, I've been perfect. I've been above board. I've never one time been slack or got lazy on God or failed the Lord, and just to be bold. No, all of us have come short after he saved us. There ain't no one of us that's lived up to the standard. There ain't one of us that have probably made it through. Can I ask this question and everybody be honest this evening? I could go up row by row, person by person. Is there one Christian in the room that's ever made it one whole day without sin? I'll be the first one to tell you I hadn't. And if you would be so presumptuous and prideful to say you have, you'd be the first one I've ever met. I'm simply saying, I didn't come in here to be a downer. I'm saying look higher than man, because man ultimately will let you down. You want me to tell you what I've found in the ministry? Brother Jackie, I'm sure you've seen this, but I've seen people follow men. And when those men would fall, they would fall. That ought not be, because we should look higher than a man. And if a man falls, God forbid he does. But if he does, It should, listen, it should break our hearts. It should burden us. It should make us look inward, taking heed lest we also fall. But we ought not pile on that man. We ought to pray for that man that falls. But it should not, the fall of a man should not cause us to fall, because we should be looking unto him, not unto them. But sadly, I've seen many fall by the wayside because their hero fell. But if you're looking unto him, you'll never have a reason nor excuse to fall, because he will not fail you. And so we looked at the statement about God's greatness, and then we looked at the statement about God's grace. And we talked about how, first of all, that his grace empowers us. And oh, doesn't it? The grace of God, apart from the grace of God, Paul said it this way, I am what I am by the grace of God. It empowers us. I couldn't make it through the day. I wouldn't make it through tomorrow if it wasn't for the grace of God. I mean, when I wake up, his grace is there. He wakes me up and kisses me every morning with brand new mercies. Ain't you glad for that? Not stale, weak old mercy, not leftover mercy. When I get home tonight, praise God, I got some leftover cornbread, and I love cornbread. Jenny cooked it last night. And when I get home tonight, listen, it ain't like that crispy, hot cornbread that just a pretty, pretty golden pone of cornbread that comes out hot right out of the oven. It ain't that good, but it's good enough for me to put in a bowl and break up and pour some cold milk over it and go to bed on. Say amen right there. But not God's mercy. God ain't going to give you nothing but, I mean, fresh, sizzling, beautiful mercies that are brand new every morning.
Amen.
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 And his grace is sufficient. And I thank God we serve a God that's full of grace and full of wisdom and full of mercy. And so we looked at how his grace empowers us. Then we looked not only how his grace empowers us, but how his grace enlives us. It's in us. You don't have to go searching for it. It's right there with you. Everywhere you go, his grace is with you. And so we looked at the statement about God's greatness. Talking about unto him. We're looking unto him. And that says something about the greatness of God, and then about the grace of God. But finally, there's a statement about God's glory. Right here in the text, in verse 21, God inspired and breathed on Paul to pen these words about God's glory. And so let's look again at verse 21 and read it together. The Bible said, unto him, there it is, right out of the gate, unto him be glory. In the, listen how specific he gets. Unto him be glory where? In the church. By Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Listen, we ought not to depend on the world to give God glory. There's a picture going around Facebook and social media, and somebody sent it to me, and it says, back off and stare at these rocks. And somebody's placed rocks in such a way, and I still ain't figured out what it is. Some of you've probably seen it, but it says, back off and look at it, and you'll see what it says. But it says something about God. Does anybody know what it says? Wow. Ain't none of y'all up to date. I felt bad. I thought I was back in the dark ages. But anyway, listen. But somebody wrote under the comment and said, I ain't going to let no rocks take my praise. I ain't going to let no rocks steal me of giving God glory. And I'm saying we ought not to depend on the church down the street. We ought not to depend on some televangelist and all his crowds. We ought not depend on the world giving God glory. The Bible said, you remember what the Bible said? God said, listen, if you won't praise me, the rocks will cry out. And so I'm simply saying, God give us right here this command. And he told us in verse 21, unto him be glory in the church. Listen, I ain't saying the church is the only place that we should give God glory, because it ain't. It ain't. We ought to give God glory at the house. We ought to give God glory at the down at the schoolhouse. We ought to give God glory on the job. We ought to give God glory in our personal time. We ought to give God glory in our prayer life. But if there's ever been a place that men and women and boys and girls gather together and corporately, we ought to come here with the purpose of giving glory to God.
Amen.
Yes. In the church. Paul ends his doxology by making this grand statement about the glory of God. Notice what he says about God and his glory. Number one, we consider the place of glory. Again, he got specific. He didn't just leave it untagged or untitled and leave it up to our imagination. He said, no, unto him give glory in the church. The place of glory. To him be glory in the church. This phrase reminds us that the church exists for the sole purpose of bringing glory to God. Let me just pause right there a minute and say, hey, help me now. Listen. I love you. You love me. And I know that it sounds like a Barney song. Y'all remember that big purple dinosaur? Yeah, I love you. You love me. We're a happy family. The only reason I sang that was to wake some of y'all up on a Wednesday. I know you've been working. Listen, but I love you. I do. I love the church. I love my church family. Lord knows my heart. There ain't a person in this church that I don't love and pray for every day. I'm sincere about that. I ain't saying that because I'm supposed to or because I have to. I love my church family.
Amen.
But can I say to you, I don't come here for you.
Amen.
You say, well, you ought to. You're the preacher. You get paid to. Blah, blah, blah. Listen, I'd come here if I had to pay you to come. I come here for the sole purpose of giving God glory.
Amen.
And listen, this is the answer. This is the anecdote. This is the fix all for our church problems. If we would get our minds off of each other, and I'm sincere about this, we ought not to dare spend time tearing one another down. We ought not dare spend time and waste time. There ain't enough time for us to be picking and plotting and bickering and backbiting and mourning and groaning about this one or that one. Hey, that takes away from the glory of God, which is why we are here.
Amen.
I didn't come here for you.
Amen.
And you shouldn't have come here for me. And if that's the case, and we can all agree we came here unto him, then that should lift our eyes a little higher than what so-and-so did or didn't do. Or how the preacher did or didn't handle this, or fill in the blank. I'm saying our sole purpose in the church is to give him glory.
Amen.
What gives him glory? You think gossip gives him glory? No, it steals glory.
Right.
You trying to rob God of his glory.
Amen.
You say, but you just don't know how bad. No, I just know how good he is. And that's what we ought to be giving our attention to.
Amen.
And say amen. He's glorified in the church because the church is made up of sinners who have been saved by the grace of God. He loved us when we deserved to be cast into hell. He loved us when we were at our lowest. He loved us when we were at our worst. He loved us when we were unlovable. That's why he deserves glory. That's why we ought to come to the church to give him glory, because he reached down into that miry pit and lifted us up and set our feet on a rock and established our goings and put a new song in our heart. Listen, when I was lost and when I was backslid, I could tear down people. I could talk about people. I could run down people. I could find fault in people. But I'm going to tell you something. When God saved me, I mean immediately when I got saved, Brother Ned, I wasn't worried about somebody else and what they did. I was looking unto Him. I couldn't get my eyes off of Him. And my praise and my adoration and my glory was to Him. And I believe that's what God's talking about when He said we ought to return to our first love. We get our eyes on people and their problems and their shortcomings. We living in a lukewarm world. And we need to get back to a heart that's on fire for God, that's looking unto Him and giving Him glory that's due unto His name. He reached out to us in love and grace and drew us unto Himself. He saved us when we called on Him by faith, and He changed our life forever. I'd say He deserves glory for that. Amen. I'm talking about the place of this glory. I ain't saying it's right to gossip down the road or at your house or surely on Facebook or social media. It ain't. It's just as much of a sin to do it there as it is anywhere else. But under heaven, the last people you ought to ever talk about and tear down is your family. Amen. That God put you, I mean sovereignly, in His infinite wisdom. How many of you believe God put this church together? Boy, I do. I don't believe we're just a ragtag bunch that just happened to wander in here. No, I believe, Brother Jeff, I believe God led you. I believe He prayed hard. I mean, I prayed hard that God would lead y'all, and y'all are praying hard. But Cricket, I believe God led you and your family. I believe that with all my heart. And every one of you that are here, I believe God led you here. And I pray this, and I mean it. I pray God lead some out if it ain't His will for them to be here, because it ain't going to do nothing but cause problems and heartache and hurt and division. Right. You know who I want to be members of Morningstar Baptist Church? Those who God wants to be members here. That's who I want. Amen. And if that's the case, I'm talking about the place of glory, then we shouldn't spend one moment tearing each other down. The world's going to do a good enough job at that. The world don't need your help. That's right. We on the same team. Amen. Hey, listen, and if the world don't tear you down, Brother Wayne, you my brother, and I love you and I'm for you, but the devil's going to do everything in his power to tear you down and slant shade on you and lie on you and accuse you. God forbid I pile onto that and help him. I should stand with you and for you and lift you up, pray for you and realize you are my brother, you and my family, and we, God called us here for one purpose, and that is to give Him glory.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because the truth is, every one of us ought to be dead and in hell already. And I'll say this, God bless you this and go out over the world wide web. Listen to me, if God was to use that wall up there as a screen and begin to name your name and then start listing your sins, private sins, sin in the dark, sin that nobody knows about, boy, you'd hear the stones dropping. Just like in the Word of God when they brought that woman before Jesus and said, look what she's done. She's an adulteress. Look what she's done. And Jesus simply quietly knelt down in the sand and wrote something. Reckon He wrote their sins. Whatever it was, it made them take the stones they was willing to throw at that woman and drop them and shamefacedly walk away. What if God put your name up there? I mean in bold. And then it just started scrolling. Your deepest, dirtiest, darkest days. The thoughts that have crossed your mind. Oh, no, you never got caught and it never got out. But God's got a record book. And boy, we will side with the devil so many times and jump in that category and play that role of being the accuser of the brethren. And let me just say, and I say this in love, and I'm trying to pastor us as a church. I'm talking to me and I'm talking to you. Listen to me. You are identifying yourself with whose side you're on when you're in the business of accusing. Railing accusations, spreading, even if it's true, who left you in charge to spread the bad news? My question simply is this. Is that bringing glory in the church? No. Can I give us all some help tonight? Why don't we learn to leave other people's sins and shortcomings in the hands of the only one who's capable of dealing with them? Righteously, holy, with justice and with grace. Are we listening? Because I promise you this. I'm thankful every day God didn't put me in charge of dealing with sin, because some days I get so mad, I'd throw y'all in hell. I would. Before you judge me, these days you get in the flesh and act the same way, and people make you so mad, and you say, if they did that to me, you might not throw them in hell, but you'd throw them in jail with two black eyes. I'm simply saying, in an exaggerated way, thank God that meeting out the judgment for sin and meeting out what has to be done with sin, that belongs in one set of hands, and that's the nail-pierced hands.
Yeah.
Because He's the one who died for them and paid for them with His own blood.
Amen.
And it does not do anything but rob Him. And we're preaching unto Him. We're doing nothing but robbing Him of His glory when we spend time doing anything like that. And that ain't in my notes, but that sure is preaching. My goodness, where'd the time go? Now, as we live for Him and honor His Word, He receives glory from the church. When we live for Jesus and we honor His Word, that brings glory to Him. You say, how does honoring a book bring glory to Him? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, hey, listen. And the Word became flesh, dropped into verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten. I'm simply saying, when we honor His Word, we are giving glory to God. Amen. As we love Him and we love one another, what I was just dealing with, He's glorified. I don't mean to harp on this. I'm gonna say this and move on. But you know how I would handle something, Brother Alex, if I heard through the grapevine something dirty and bad and vicious and wicked about one of my children. It'd break my heart.
That's right.
Literally, it'd crush me. It'd crush me. You know what I wouldn't do, Brother Stephen? I wouldn't get on the phone and call and spread it.
That's right.
Because I love them.
Amen.
They my family.
Amen.
I'd try to cover it. I'd try to love them through it. I'd try to help them through it. And the very last thing I'd do would be try to pour gas on the flame and blow that thing up and let the world find out about it.
That's
and
right.
Cause them more shame.
That's right.
Did they do wrong? Yes, they did wrong. Did I do wrong? Yes, I did wrong. But you know what I needed when I was at my lowest? Not somebody kicking me and putting their heel in my face. And that ain't what I needed. That didn't help me, and that didn't bring no glory to Him. You know what I needed? I needed somebody to reach out to me in my filth and say, even though you're dirty, I still love you. And I had people in this room come to me when I was at my lowest and wrap their arms around me. I had a brother-in-law that come to my house. I had another brother-in-law that come to my house when I was unlovable, put me in their truck and ride me down the road. Tell me they love me. And when listen, I didn't deserve none of that. They should have hated me, but you know what they did? They showed glory to Jesus because they took on the mind of Christ and looked past my faults and saw my need. And if I'd do that for one of my children, just like you'd do it for one of your children, we are family. And we ought to do that, and that brings glory to God. As we love Him and love one another, He's glorified. As we preach the gospel and gather for worship, He's glorified. As we sing and pray and work and serve in the church, He's glorified. Don't teach your class for the applause of men. Can I say this, Brother Jack? I know you'll identify with this. If you preach for the applause of men, you'd have quit a long time ago. I can't tell you how many Sundays I'd have quit. And you study and you pray and you weep before God and you burden and you get something fresh from God, and you know God's going to take that and just turn the church upside down and start revival. And you come in and you sweat and spit and holler and scream, and you just give everything you got. And you preach to a crowd that look like they look watching paint dry and trying to see grass growing. And you go home so defeated. And you go home thinking, I missed it. And I made a mess of that. And under heaven, I thought that was from the Lord. And they didn't nobody come to the altar. They didn't nobody, EMAC, interested at all. Yeah. Hear me. When you get to Iceland, sir, don't look for people.
Amen.
And people's approval or people's applause.
Amen, brother.
Do it unto Him.
Amen.
And do it for His glory.
Amen.
And you'll stay in it when you feel like quitting. The church is an organism that exists simply to bring glory to His name. And when we function as we should, that's exactly what we do. When we are being a church properly, above anything else. You say, but I thought it should be witnessing. I thought it should be missions. I thought the number one thing should be preaching. All of those things are right and perfect in their place. But hear me, all of those things will happen when we first give Him glory. They flow out of that.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Missions will be no problem when you're busy giving Him glory. Because when you look at Him and you ascribing worth to Him and you worshiping Him and praising Him and giving Him glory, you'll see the nail-pierced hands and you'll see the riven side and you'll see where the crown of thorns was and you'll see how much He loved the church and how much He loved the world that He died for it. And you'll have no problem writing a check to get that message to the world.
Amen.
Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And listen, you'll have no problem preaching when you're trying to give Him glory.
Amen.
Even when men don't want to hear it. Even when men sit there and women sit there and cut their fingernails and bite their fingernails to the quick, bored with what you're saying. And flip through magazines and write notes and, oh, y'all didn't think I saw that? It's amazing what you can see from up here. And what I miss and don't see, those on the pew in front of you and behind you hear it all and tell it all. Come to church to give Him glory. This is the place of glory. We must keep the truth, this truth in mind as we go about our business, going to church, being the church. Everything we do at the church should be done with a view to bringing glory to the Lord. Every decision we make, every dollar we give and spend, every missionary we support, every job we assign, everything that we do should be for the glory of God and for no other reason. Every person who serves in this church in any capacity should perform his or her job to the best of their ability for the glory of God. We must not work for applause. We must not work for to make a name for ourselves. We must work for the glory of God. Listen, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So that's the place of glory. And I'll close quickly with the person of glory. Anybody know who that might be? I'll just say this. Without the person of glory, there'd be no place of glory. Without the person of glory, listen, there'd be no people to give glory. The person is the title of our message, unto Him. He's the person. Nowhere is God more glorified than in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus has always been and forever will be His beloved Son in whom He's well pleased. Since God is glorified in His Son, we should be in the business of making much of Him. Amen. We need to examine our music, our preaching, our service, and our motive to be sure everything we do and serve is to magnify and glorify the name of the one who brings the ultimate glory to God, and that is Jesus Christ. Even the Holy Ghost of God will step aside and point toward Him. Nowhere in Scripture will you find the Holy Spirit taking glory. Nowhere. He's always pointing to Jesus. He's the person of glory. If we will talk about Jesus and preach about Jesus and sing about Jesus and praise the name of Jesus and be head over heels in love with Jesus, God will be glorified in our lives and in our church. If we can bring that attitude with us when we come into the church, God will be glorified at Morningstar Baptist Church. I got 1 minute to give this last one. And this is a good one. Then the permanence of His glory. Not only the place of His glory in the person, but the permanence of His glory. This glory that God receives through the church and through His Son, the Lord Jesus, is not a fleeting glory. Paul says that it will last throughout all ages, world without end. It's permanent. The phrase literally means unto all the generation of the age of ages. God will be receiving glory from His church because of His Son when the end of time comes and eternity flows into eternity. Jesus will still be receiving glory from His church. 10 million years from now, we will just have begun giving Him glory. Why not start now? Why not get busy now? Because heaven is just another location or we will give him glory.
Amen.
The church is going to be in heaven.
Amen.
Jesus, the person of glory, is going to be in heaven.
Amen.
The people that give glory, we're going to be there. So why not start now? Giving him glory. Make up your mind beginning today. I'm going to be purposeful. I'm going to be thoughtful. I'm going to be methodical. Everything that I say, every motive that I have, I'm going to examine and see, does that bring glory to God or does that rob glory from God? Does this word I'm about to say give glory to God or take glory from God? If we'll make much of Jesus, God the Father will make much of us. That's a biblical fact. At Morningstar Baptist Church, moving forward and in our personal life, Lord, help us to make much of Jesus and give him, unto him, the maximum honor and glory.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, take your word. Lord, help me and help these, Lord, to monitor our actions and our attitudes, examine our heart. God, more than anything, that we'd be careful to give you glory. God, not to preach out of habit, not to teach out of obligation, not to sing because we're supposed to, but Lord, that everything we do would be for the glory of God.